Penguin Random House Audio presents Sonny Boy by Al Pacino. This is the author. To Charlie, to my granddad, and to my mom. I have written a memoir I thought I never would. Naturally, I hope you enjoy it. I've always been comfortable being a private person. Of course, writing a book and talking about one's life, or let's say parts of one's life, is in and of itself an invitation. Like you're opening the door and asking everyone to come on in. I've had a long life, and I've tried to cover some of it here and give you a general idea of the kind of road I've traveled. It's been pretty twisty, turny, and there's a few bumps along the way. I'm still on that road, as a matter of fact. I hope you have a good time, and I thank you for your interest. Chapter 1, A Blade of Grass. I was performing since I was just a little boy. My mother used to take me to the movies when I was as young as 3 or 4 years old. She did menial work and factory jobs during the day, and when she came home, the only company she had was her son. So she'd bring me with her to the movies. She didn't know that she was supplying me with a future. I was immediately attached to watching actors on the screen. Since I never had playmates in our apartment, and we didn't have television set yet, I would have nothing but time to think about the movie I had seen the night before. I'd go through the characters in my head, and I would bring them to life, in a way, one by one, in the apartment I lived in. I learned at an early age to make friends with my imagination. The movies were a place where my mother could hide in the dark and not have to share her Sonny Boy with anyone else. That was her nickname for me, the one she gave me first, before everyone else started calling me Sonny, too. She called me Sonny Boy. It was something she picked up from the movies where she had heard Al Jolson sing it in a song that became very popular. It went like this. Climb upon my knee, Sonny Boy. Though you're only 3, Sonny Boy, you've no way of knowing, there's no way of showing what you mean to me, Sonny Boy. It stuck in her head for a dozen years, and at my birth in 1940, the song was still so vivid in my mother that she would sing it to me. I was my parents' first child, my grandparents' first grandchild, and they made a big fuss over me. My father was all of 18 years old when I was born, and my mother was just a few years older. Suffice it to say that they were young even for that time. I probably hadn't turned 2 years old yet when they split up. The first couple of years of my life, my mother and I spent constantly moving around, no stability and no certainty. We lived together in furnished rooms in Harlem, and then we moved, finally, to her parents' apartment in the South Bronx. We hardly got any support from my father. Eventually, we were allotted $5 a month by a court, which was enough to cover our room and board at her parents' place. Many years later, when I was 14, my mother took my father to court again to plead for more money, which he said he didn't have and which we didn't get. I thought the judge was very unfair to my mom. It would take decades for the courts to have some sense about a single mother's needs. To find the earliest memory I have of being together with both of my parents, I have to go way back to when I'm about 3 or 4 years old. Now, I'm watching some movie with my mother in the balcony of the Dover Theater in the South Bronx. The story is some sort of melodrama for adults, of course, and my mother is totally transfixed. I know I'm watching something really meant for grown-ups, and I imagine that there's a certain thrill in that for me, in being a little kid, you know, at my mother's side, sharing this time with her. But I can't quite follow the plot of this movie, and my attention wanders. I look down from the balcony into the rows of seats below, right? And I see a man walking around there, looking for something. He is wearing the dress uniform of an MP, the military police, which my father served in during World War II. He must have seemed familiar to me because I instinctively shouted out, "Dada!" My mother shushed me. She says, I didn't understand why, of course. And how could she say shush? I didn't quite understand it. So I shouted it from again, "Dada!" And she kept whispering to me, "Shh, quiet, quiet," because he was looking for my mother. They were having problems, and she didn't want him to find her. But now she had been found. When the film was over, I remember walking on the dark street at night with my mother and father, and the marquee of the Dover Theater was receding behind us. Each parent held one of my hands as I walked between them. Out of my right eye, I see this holster on my father's waist with a huge gun pouring out of it with a pearl white handle. Years later, when I played a cop in the film Heat, my character carried a gun with a handle just like that. Even as a little child, I could understand. That's powerful. That's dangerous. And then my father was gone. He went off to the war and came back, but not to us. You know, later in life, when I was acting in my first Broadway show, my relatives from my father's side of the family came to see me. I was this young avant-garde actor who had spent most of his time in Greenwich Village and gradually worked his way onto Broadway. After the show was over, a couple of my aunts and a kid or two of theirs paid me a surprise visit in the hallway, backstage. I was surprised, you know, who are these people? They looked like Italians, but they were my relatives. They started showering me with kisses, hugging me, congratulating me. What a performance! They were Pacinos, and though I knew them from making the occasional visit to my grandmother on my father's side, I was, you know, somewhat bashful of them. I don't know. But as we made small talk, something came up in the conversation that struck me to the bone. They said something about the time that you were with us, kind of thing. I said, "The time I was with you? What do you mean? When I was with you?" They said, "Yeah, when you weren't with us, remember?" "Oh, yeah, Sonny boy, when you were hardly more than a baby, not quite a year, year and a half. Yeah, you lived with your grandma and your grandpa, your daddy's mother and father, yeah." I said, "How long did I live there?" "So, about 8 months, maybe a year, nearly a year." Suddenly, things started to come together in my head. I was taken away from my mother for 8 months while my father was away in the war. Can you believe it? But I wasn't sent to an orphanage or put in a foster home. I was mercifully given over to a blood relative. My father's mother, my grandmother, who was an absolute gift from God. You know, I've had lifesavers throughout my time on this planet, and she was perhaps the first. This realization just knocked me over. I had a sudden clarity about the inexplicable things I had done in my life thus far at 28 years old, the checkered way I lived, the choices I made, and the ways I dealt with things. Wow! It was a revelation to learn that I had been given away, at least temporarily, at the age of 16 months.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?